It is actually the describing the end of the coronation ceremony, die Zeremonie, die zur Krönung von Maharaj Prito gemacht wurde. At that time, when Prito Maharaj had just been installed as the emperor of the world, many suttas or professional praisers came forward and glorified him. And it's very, very interesting how he reacted to the praise. He didn't like to be respected by others, and it's very interesting, I find out, because we, for the normal person, he reacts quite differently. We always like to be praised by others. So let us understand a little bit about being praised by others from King Prito. "My dear devotees," he said, "headed by the sutta," this is some orator, ein Redner, who was praising him. "Just now I'm not very fortunate, I'm not very famous for my personal activities, because I have not done anything praiseworthy you could glorify. Therefore, how could I engage you in praising my activities exactly like children?" Prito Maharaj has just appeared and has not yet done anything, and that's his statement. So wait, don't be so eager to praise me. In text 23, this becomes a little bit clearer. "O gentle reciters," 23, "offer such prayers in due course of time," that means after some time, "when the qualities of which you have spoken actually manifest themselves in me. The gentle who offer prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead do not attribute such qualities to a human being who does not actually have them." Prabhupada writes in the purport, it's halfway through the purport, "Although Prito Maharaj was factually an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he rejected those praises because the qualities of the Supreme Person were not yet manifest in him. He wanted to stress that one who does not actually possess these qualities should not try to engage his followers and devotees in offering him glory for them, even though these qualities might be manifest in the future. If a man who does not factually possess the attributes of a great personality engages his followers in praising him with the expectation that such attributes will develop sometimes in the future, that sort of praise is actually an insult." So, Prito Maharaj, the saintly king, is saying, "You have just now installed me as a king, but I have not yet done anything. So please don't praise me for something which I have not done." And in the next text he says, "How could an intelligent man, competent enough to possess such exalted qualities," which the reciter has sung about, "how could an intelligent man allow his followers to praise him if he did not actually have them? Praising a man by saying that if he were educated, he might have become a great scholar or great personality is nothing but a process of cheating." For instance, if you would say to, let us say, one person who is very uneducated, if you would have been educated, you actually would be able to speak something which makes sense. This type of praise where you praise someone for something, you know, which he really has not yet developed, is an insult. A foolish person who agrees to accept such praise does not know that such words simply insult him. You know, if that person says, yeah, if I would have been educated, oh, I would be a great scholar, wonderful. Oh, yes, thank you. He's foolish if he accepts it. So someone, this is the point, who accepts praise for something which he does not manifest, he does not know that such a praise really is an insult. Purport. Prithu Maharaj was an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as Lord Brahma and other demigods had already testified when they had presented the king with many heavenly gifts. Because he had just been coronated, however, he could not manifest his godly qualities in action. Therefore, he was not willing to accept the praise of the devotees. So-called incarnations of Godhead should therefore take lessons from the behavior of King Prithu. Demons without godly qualities should not accept false praise from their followers. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya. Bitte. Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale. Simate Bhakti Vedanta. Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Sarasvate Deve. Gauravani Pracharine. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi. Paskatyade Satarine. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Prabhu Nityananda. Yadveta Gadadhara. Siva Shadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Hare Hare. Here we find a very, very nice spiritual subject. It's about accepting praise. I think we all know that praise or appreciation is something which we do need to some extent. If we find ourselves in a society of persons who do not have any good thing to say about us, we feel very quickly isolated and not comfortable. There is, in other words, a legitimate place for appreciation. Here, in this verse, we find the limits of this place, or the borders of this place. Very often, there is a great, there's a tendency in us to try to become satisfied and happy by somehow acting in such a way, by somehow earning praise. In fact, it is said that is the greatest need of the human being, beyond actually food, to be praised. This was how, for instance, a very great Polarforscher, one says in German, person who investigated the Antarctic, got a few million dollars support for his expedition. He told some American millionaires when I see some mountain, I will actually name this mountain after you. You know, it's in the midst of the Antarctic. You know, if there's a Sachinandan Swami mountain, it is really not so important. Or a Gaurahari mountain, you know, what is this to me? But the people were very eager. Oh, yes, a mountain is named after me. Take $2 million, please. This is a very worthy expedition. It is extremely important, and it is it needs to be supported. So I think we easily feel that such a desire to be appreciated is really beyond the borders. Also es hat die Grenzen des Vernünftigen gesprengt. But it is nevertheless a fact, and I think we all know it from our own lives, that to be praised or appreciated by others is a need which we have as human beings. Today I want to speak about something else, though. I want to make a postulate, also eine Erklärung, saying that you can also get the same amount, if not more, if you actually praise others. If you respect others, then you can get a great satisfaction in the heart. And how this is so, I want to speak about this today. I will say at the outset that I was very inspired to hear a class by Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj just two or three days ago, he gave it here about respect. And I have taken elements of this class knowing that only a few of you were there in the class, and I will say something a little bit. Use these elements. Mm-hmm. First of all, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given four rules if you want to taste the Nam Rasa, the nectar of chanting the holy name. And two of these four rules have to do with respect. One should be ready to offer respect, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said, and one should actually avoid demanding respect in return. To offer respect is something which does not come so easy in this world, because we have this demand or almost desire to be appreciated by others. It is sometimes difficult for us to offer respect. But spiritual culture is based on giving respects to superiors. In the Bhagavad Gita, it says that the austerity of the body, you know, that means your whole personality, is to learn to offer respect to God, to the demigods, to brahmanas, to the spiritual master, and also to superiors like the father and mother. It is actually a spiritual practice in India to this day that before a person does anything, he goes to his father, touches his lotus feet, and then he engages in his day's activities. Or we, in the Hare Krishna movement, also have this practice intact. Before we start our day, we do what? Guru Puja. Because the Vedic civilization, and this is very important, is based on obtaining blessings for our activities. By the power of strong blessings, a person can go on the spiritual path. These blessings which come from our superiors are necessary to keep us on the path, to support us, to give us wings to fly over the mountains of our insufficiencies and weaknesses. By blessing, you can attain much more than you can attain by your own strengths. Blessings are so important that by blessings even the impossible can become true. True, this is stated in a verse which is often recited by those who give lectures or by those who do difficult things. They say, by the blessings of my spiritual master, a lame person can walk very nicely over mountains. A blind person can see the stars in the night. And by blessings, it's also possible that a fool speaks something nice. This is how lecturers start their mukham karoti vachalam pangum langayate giram. Yat kripa means mercy. Yat kripa tvam aham vande shri gurun dinataranam. Also, sometimes it is said the blessings, something Radha Madhava dinataranam, by the blessings of Radha Madhava, this is possible. Blessings or kripa are so important, my dear devotees. When a merciful soul blesses us with something which comes from his heart, it is so easy to progress on the spiritual path. Therefore, in the Vedic tradition is that you must bow down. Hare Krishna. Learn to offer respect to God, the demigods, brahmanas, the spiritual master and superiors like the father and the mother. I remember when Brahmananda Prabhu joined the Hare Krishna movement, his mother was very heartbroken. She had another career for her son in mind. But when her second son, Gaga Muni, was convinced by Brahmananda to also join the Hare Krishna movement, then it was just too much. She was a simple woman born in the Jewish tradition, and she went to Prabhupada and cried, "You have taken two of my sons." And Prabhupada said, "But your sons were loitering on the street. Ihre Söhne sind auf der Straße herumgestrolcht. You should give me a donation that I'm feeding them now." And the mother said, as a very nice-hearted mother, she said, "I have given you already my two sons." Jewish mother doesn't want to give money. "I have given you already my two sons." And so Prabhupada had gotten what he wanted, the agreement of the mother, and he smiled at her in an understanding way and said, "Thank you." So later, when the two sons were initiated, Prabhupada invited the mother to be there for the initiation fire, because he wanted to be kind to the mother. And then, when they were initiated, Prabhupada said to Brahmananda and Gaga Muni, "Now you must bow down before your mother. She is your superior. She has given you birth. And you must ask for her blessing." The mother was sitting there. By now it was all right for her that her two sons were in the Hare Krishna movement. And her two sons came and offered obeisances to her. She felt very moved in her heart. And cried and said, "Yes, yes, it is all right. you can be a devotee. The blessings are so important that we should not, in the Vedic tradition, should be careful that our mother and father are giving us the blessings. Then we can go on. A nice example of obtaining blessings is at the outset of the battle of Kurukshetra. Just imagine, on one side there is the Pandava army, on the other the Kaurava army. The war is going to happen. There are 13 years of preparation for the war. And Bhima is boiling with anger. All of a sudden he sees how his older brother takes down all the armor, die ganze Rüstung, puts down the weapons and starts to move over the battlefield in the direction of the other army. Duryodhana goes, he will say, I want peace. He is such a weak link. Good, we have won. Bhima says, brother, what are you doing? But because he is a younger brother to Yudhishthira and has to offer respect, he has to put down the armor and go with his brother. Arjuna is going, and they all follow Yudhishthira. And they don't know what is going to happen now. Yudhishthira goes to his superiors, Grandfather Bhishma, and pays his obeisances and says, may I please fight with you? Bhishma says, you are so good. Yes, of course. Yudhishthira said, and may we kill you, grandfather. You're so great. If you wouldn't have asked, it would have been impossible. But now I bless you. After some time, you will get the knowledge how you can kill me. Just now I will not tell you. But yes. Thank you, says Yudhishthira. And goes to Dronacharya and asks him the same, because he is a guru, martial art guru. Can I have your blessings, please? I want to fight with you. Of course, says Dronacharya. And maybe defeat you. Of course. If you would not have asked, I would not have said. But because you have showed the proper respect, we offer you our blessings. You must know one thing. It is quite different to the Western mentality. Blessings, or if you want blessings or mercy, they always come from above. And if you want to have them, you must take an inferior position. You follow? What is inferior position? If you want blessings, you can't force them to come your way. Man kann sie nicht erzwingen. Only if you take eine etwas untergeordnete Position, if you go into an inferior position, will it be possible for you to obtain powerful blessings. So, I would now like to give some examples of getting blessings. I would like to speak about something in our own circle, the blessings of Vaishnavas, how they are important on our way. It says if we actually offend devotees of Lord Krishna and do not have their blessings, then what we do in spiritual life turns against us. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says that someone who offends a devotee, his bath in the Ganga and his chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra turns against him. It's for his undoing. It's vernichtet ihn. These are very powerful practices, but if you are not, if you are offending Vaishnavas, then the power goes against you. You will be, in other words, these practices will say, we can't be bribed, we can't be getting the blessings of the Vaishnavas must be there. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very, very eager that in the temple there would be no quarrels amongst devotees. What he would do when devotees would quarrel is very interesting. He would ask them to come and sit before him, and then he would request one devotee to say something good about the other. We have spoken about this in other lectures, and for instance, let us say devotee A has a quarrel with or a problem with devotee B. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would get them, and he would say to devotee B, no, devotee A, say to find something good in devotee B. And devotee A, yeah, that's very good quality that you take prasadam. Devotee B would say, it's very good that you drink charanamrita. You know? And they would start. And as they would be talking to each other, they would discover naturally more and more good qualities. This is when you start to praise someone, this is the automatic psychological reaction. If you see something good, you will see something else good, and you will see something more good. If you start looking bad, something for something bad, you will see another bad quality and another bad quality and yet another bad quality. But if you try to look for the good, you will actually get eyes, Dayanitai, for seeing the good. Is this your experience also? Think of something. Think of some situation. When you try to see one thing good in one devotee, you will see something else in a devotee. A little while ago, there was one devotee who really attacked me in a way with which I've never been attacked in my life, and I was starting to react to this and thinking, well, what a bad devotee, and I'm so saintly. But then I began to try to, because you can't go on like this, always being in a negative mode, then I was thinking, oh, the devotee has also good quality. In the past, she did this and that, and in the past, she has shown great determination. Just now it is a little bit covered, but yes, and from one perspective one can understand that she thinks like this, and so on. You know, and I noticed how my heart, the tension in the heart went away, and I saw more and more good qualities. But the moment you start with this typical Western thing to see bad qualities, you will just be lost in a whirlpool. So there is a very nice song which I would like to read to you about being respectful to Vaishnavas. It comes in the Kalyana Kalpataru, and it's a prayer actually. Please repeat after me. When will Lord Chaitanya be merciful to me? When will I attain the shadow of the feet of the Vaishnavas? When will I renounce my false pride? When will I show respect to the Vaishnavas? years. And in the following, which I will just read for you, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains how he wants to respect the devotees. When with folded hands, a cloth around my neck, and a blade of grass between my teeth, will I sincerely offer my respects to the Vaishnavas. You know, it's like when you take some grass in your mouth, what you really say is, I'm like the cows. I'm very low class. I'm like the cows on the fields, you know, who are not known for their high intelligence. Ich bin wie ein Stück Vieh, zu Deutsch gesagt. This is my position. Please show me mercy. It's a really, really very a sign of great respect. And then, you know, only if you come into this mood will the next thing be possible. Kandiya, kandiya. Do you know what kandiya, kandiya means? Crying. Yes, how Chintamani Bhajan Band knows everything. Crying and crying. You know, tears are the price for getting back to Godhead. So he says, when weeping and weeping, or crying and crying, will I finally understand that the material world is a place of suffering? When will I beg from the devotees relief, eine Erleichterung, from the blazing fire of repeated birth and death? The saintly Vaishnavas will take me to Lord Krishna and ask him, please save this soul. When Lord Krishna hears the Vaishnavas' appeals, he will be merciful to the sinner. I, Bhaktivinoda, go to the Vaishnavas' feet and say, please be merciful and accept this poor person in your company. You know, this is the idea. The Vaishnavas, when we offer them the proper amount of respect, will certainly come, take us to Krishna and say, look at this poor soul. Please give him your kripa. The Vaishnavas, in other words, there's a nice English word, will intercede in our future. Also die Vaishnavas werden sich in unsere Zukunft einmischen und die Weichen für unseren Fortschritt stellen. This is again the point which we discuss. If you show respect, you will get blessings. I mean, hopefully you don't go to the Vaishnavas and ask them to give me the blessings to kill you. This is not the idea. This was a Kshatriya thing, you know. We are here and moving on a different battlefield, the inner battlefield, not the outer one. Now I would like to go to a subject matter which is a little difficult for the Westerner. It's the guru, showing respect to the guru, which is difficult for us Westerners. There is a verse in Mahabharata, which our Bhaktivigyan Maharaj was quoting very nicely. The verse goes like this. Vidvan avidyavan Guru eva janadana. Whether my guru knows or does not know, he is always for me janadana, means a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed this amount of respect to Ishwarapuri. When Ishwarapuri saw the Lord in Navadvip the first time, Lord Chaitanya had become famous as the greatest scholar on earth. He had defeated the illustrious Keshava Pandit, and he was walking with thousands of students who were all his followers. So Ishwarapuri saw Nimai coming down the road, and Nimai immediately offered his respectful obeisances to his future guru. Ishwarapuri saw him, and he saw that Mahaprabhu looked like Kamadev, the god of love. I do not know if you have heard, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so beautiful that anyone who saw him was simply conquered by his indescribable beauty. He looked so beautiful. We can't imagine this beauty because we live in Kali Yuga, and people usually, well, there are some beautiful people, like for instance Ram Gopal, or Mangamaya. This amount of beauty is simply unknown. Their beauty is an internal beauty, whereas Mahaprabhu's beauty was both internal and external, but to a maximum degree. Maximum degree. When he would dance, for instance, in the night, he looked like a torchlight. His beauty was, in other words, effulgent. Beauty usually, some type of beauty is effulgent, isn't it? It touches our heart. Like when our Vraj Kishori was yesterday coming into the temple, I think most of us fainted. Most of us. So nicely with the flowers and the happy smile and everything. There is an effulgence. But you must know, Mahaprabhu's beauty was even, it actually had light in it. Beauty. People were overwhelmed by seeing him. And they were frustrated because they could not compare his beauty to anything. They said, Mahaprabhu's beauty cannot be compared to the god of love. Because the god of love agitates the heart with lust, but Mahaprabhu agitates the heart with love. Therefore, he cannot be compared to the god of love. It's not possible. So Ishwarapuri said, who is this personality bowing down? Mahaprabhu was so humble, he didn't say anything. But his scholar said, someone said, this is a famous Nimai Pandit of Navadvip. Of course, Ishwarapuri had heard about him. And he said, I have heard about you. I have a book. A very important, I have composed a book. Could you please check it and edit it? He wanted to write a grammatically correct book. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, whatever a devotee writes is perfect. Ishwarapuri said, no, you please take it and you go through the errors. Mahaprabhu, next day, Ishwarapuri met him and said, so have you done your work? Have you edited it? Mahaprabhu said, well, since you have asked me, there is one grammatical constellation which is not so good. One could use another one. Ishwarapuri said, no, actually the intent of using this and not the other is an alankara. It's a poetic expression. Now, usually, if anyone would have said the opposite to what Mahaprabhu said, he would become like a lion, and he would go like, jump on him and show that this person is the greatest of fools. He would show it in some way. But Mahaprabhu showed respect. He said, yes, whatever you say is correct. This is very important, to show respect to the guru. He may know or he may not know. Respect is because we want not to be victorious in the battle of knowledge. We want blessings. Prabhuji's. Do you want blessings or do you want to be right? It's a very interesting question, isn't it? In this world, we want to be right. And we want to be the superior person. Even superior, many devotees want to be superior to Prabhupada. Here he says this, there he says this, and this, someone says that, and he has quoted this, and therefore, blah, blah, blah. Do you want to be right, or do you want to be have blessings? This is the questions which you have to ask yourself. Prabhupada would say, whether right or wrong, my Guru Maharaj is always right. And there is a very nice prayer which I want to read to you. It is so nice that you will immediately see the point of this question. Do you want to be right or do you want to have blessings? Gurudev Kripa Bindu Diya Karo E Dase Tena Pekshati Nam Sakala Sahane Baladiya Karo Nija Mane Sprihainam. Wonderful. O Gurudev, by administering a drop of your mercy, make the servant of yours infinitely more humble than a blade of grass. Give me the strength to bear all trials and troubles. Free me from desires for personal honor. O Lord and Master, inspire me with the power to befittingly honor all living beings. Only then will I sing the holy name of the Lord in great ecstasy, and my offensive activities will cease. So he wants mercy so that he is actually strong to be humble and go through the troubles of life. And he wants to have the power to be fittingly, means each one according to his adhika, honor all living beings. Because he knows then he will be able to chant the names in great ecstasy. Now this is a very nice song, and so on. Respect for the spiritual master is important, my dear devotees. It's not unimportant, even though we see examples of devotees who may not have totally understood this point, we should understand about the point. Respect for our Srila Prabhupada, our line which Krishna has given us. It's very important. Otherwise, we will never understand what is spiritual life. It will only be a mental impression, but not a true realization. Finally, in offering respect, we arrive at the door of God. We have started our little journey with superiors, offering respects to superiors, like father and mother even, and brahmanas. We have then gone to the Vaishnavas. We have dealt with respect to the guru. Now I would like to speak about respect for God. As we know, as we have heard, the holy name is identical with Krishna. This fact is possible for us to see when we chant the holy name, what is called Shodhanam, when we chant it with love and respect. Our Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that the chanting of the holy name should be done with affection and respect. And japa, to do japa, means to involve the heart. Japa hridaya uchate. It means, japa means the repetition of the names, uchate, from the heart, hridaya, with affection. Without affection, our japa is not it's not really the ideal, let us say it like this. There is a very nice verse in the Bhajan Lalasa. It says, Pratidina jadi adare koriya se nama kirtan kori shita pala yeno nasiroga mula krameswadhu hoya hari. Oh, it's so wonderful. If I sing that holy name of yours aloud every day with warm affection, my Lord Krishna, then as sugar candy taken medicinally destroys the very disease which makes it taste bitter, so your holy name, O Lord Hari, will cure my spiritual disease and allow me to gradually taste your sweetness. Very important. We should be respectful to our spiritual practice and chant the holy name with affection. This is a quotation about affection, but there are also quotations in the Mantrata Deepika, a section in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, that says we must chant with respect. We must respect this practice. Oh, it has been given to me by the glorious Parampara. I will chant it with utmost respect. I will give it the right place in my life. When you respect someone, you give him a nice place. When the person comes in your house, you find out what is the best sitting place here in this house. Then you give him the most comfortable chair to sit on and so on. You give him a good place. So the chanting should be respected by all of us. Then only we get the Naam Kripa, the blessings of the holy name. What do you think, Anantanitai? That's a very good point. We want ultimately the blessings of the holy name. What do you think, Anandini? It's important. The blessings of the holy name is all. By his blessings we can start to walk on our spiritual path, cross the many obstacles which we have, and see the stars in the night sky. That is, see the gopis surrounding around the Krishna Chandra, the moon over Vrindavan, and that will be our perfection. Hare Krishna. So, my dear devotees, please let us learn to offer respect. The Gita says, learn to offer respect to God, demigods, Brahmana, spiritual master, and so on. Because we want to learn to get the blessings. Hare Krishna. Only one copy in this world. It is not for sale. So, do you have any questions? Sriman Thorsten is the first one.
Are the respects when they are offered artificially also efficient?
Are respects which are offered artificially also efficient, wirksam? It is first of all, we should offer respects where they are due to a person who is really qualified. That's important. We should not offer undue respects. That's why we read in the beginning about Maharaj Prithu, who really objected to this. He said, "Well, wait, don't offer respects. Now I've just been coronated. I have not really started my activities." So that's very important rule. Now, if there is a worthy person, and we hear that, can find good qualities in everyone, then even if we offer respect unwillingly, it has an effect. There is a very famous story which Prabhupada told of the sadhu who went to a really bad grihastha couple, some married people, and he was very hungry and he was begging. So the husband asked his wife, "Who's on the door?" And he said, a sadhu who's begging. "Ah, give this person the cold ashes from our fire." And so he threw that ashes in the uttariya, and she threw it in the uttariya. And the sadhu said, "Thank you so much. Your process of giving has started." So yes, even when someone gives, starts giving, it is beginning to take effect. Prabhupada often used to say, when answer the question, when someone asked him, "Are you how to become humble?" He used to answer by saying, "Act as if you are humble. It has the right activities have a magic in themselves. When we do the right things, it can bring us on the proper level. Because, see, when you do the right thing, you are being connected with righteousness, and the righteousness will act. When you do the right thing, you are connected with Dharma. And by the power of Dharma, it works, not by your own power. You will find out when you get up in the morning, this is a big subject matter in Goloka Dham, if you get up in the morning, you will get some spiritual benefit from it, even if you don't like to do it, because sleeping is so much nicer for the unenlightened mind. You will see there is power in this, observing the deities and so on. Was meinst du, Ramgopal? There is power, obviously. We all have experienced this. Or do you know you don't like to go on Sankirtan? I mean, I know this. I'm not such a good Sankirtan devotee, and I'm usually quite afraid of the people. I'm not like Mangamaya Prabhu or all you great souls. It's just, these people, I just, I mean, I like them, but it's just, if they come so close and if they... but if you say if you just go on this and do it, after some time you get empowered. We all know this. Yeah, this is a very good point which Mangamaya Prabhu made. The question is that in the beginning we heard about the desire to be appreciated, and there is a legitimate place, but one can also go over the borders with this. And how is it with giving respect? Not receiving respect, but giving respect. Is there also are there also borders or natural borders about which we when you give respect over and above it, then it turns into something which is harmful and even hampers the development of love. Well, there's a very important question which belongs to the subject. One thing obviously is if we give respect in an undue way. This actually, at that time, the respect turns into something which actually is for a civilized person an insult. Like, for instance, if you call an ordinary person an incarnation of God, that would be an example which is done nowadays in the charismatic guru movements. I'm thinking of, you know, there are gurus which call themselves an incarnation and are really addressed like this. This is not good for the followers and obviously not good for the so-called incarnation. That is obvious. Respect should be given, you know, where are the borders, according to the actual adhika. Adhika means the qualification of the individual, and not beyond that. That's the common rule for this. It can happen that when respect is given in an undue, also ungebührliche way, that the whole thing turns into a society of flatterers and flattered. Also es wird so eine Schmeichelgesellschaft. This can easily happen. I know one god brother of mine who is very philosophical, Gaur Govinda Maharaj. He used to say that very often in a spiritual movement we don't see the substance but only the form. For instance, in Jesus Christ's life, people see him as the leader of the church or of the Christianity, but they don't see his instructions really, and you know, make something out of him. It's almost terrible, you know. Who doesn't follow goes to hell, and all of this. So this can happen when there is undue respect for something which is not there, that is all for the form. We must be very careful that this doesn't happen in our desire to glorify Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada is a pure spiritualist. He is also the Acharya of ISKCON. But his main thing is he is a great devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and it's important that we stress his spiritual teachings and do not make him just into an institutional figure who conforms by the institutional laws. And that's very important. So two things I would say in answer to your questions we must be aware of. When we offer respect, we should not do this beyond what actually is done, and we should not offer the wrong respect. We should see that the substance is more important than than form. I know that this answer can be misconstructed by saying that I do not wish to say that the institution is not important, and the institution is regulating the preaching in some way or facilitating the preaching. It is important. It's also the creation of the person. But what I wish to say is that institutions are human and they can make human mistakes and they can create pressure systems and so on. We should always really know the instructions of the person whom we worship. Maybe he is something different than the institution sometimes makes out of him. And this is what I want to say. Yes, does respect always stay with us, or does it turn into love? It's interesting, in the relationship to the spiritual master, respect does change. It is said that in the beginning it is all awe and reverence, but as the relationship develops, there comes genuine friendship. It doesn't mean that one becomes respectless, but it means that there is another emotion also prominent. Now, as far as the development of Braj Bhakti is concerned, that is the unique type of love which the residents of Vrindavan have for Krishna. Yes, here we find that love even overrules respect. Usually this is never, I have not heard. Yeah, I have heard something like this also in the other relationship. For instance, Nanda Maharaj meets Uddhava, and Uddhava says, you know, don't cry that Krishna has left Vrindavan. Just meditate that, you know, he's God, he's present everywhere. He's also with you now. And Nanda Maharaj says, you are supposed to be a disciple of Brihaspati? You're the greatest fool to call Krishna God. He eats every 24 minutes. Is this God? He urinates on the floor when he doesn't get his food, and he starts to get into Vraj Bhakti and explains. Now, I heard once when Mother Yashoda would not give Krishna more milk because she thought, well, he had drunk so much milk. And Krishna threw himself on the floor and banged with his head and the floor, ping, 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 ping. And Yashoda said, Gopal, you have gotten enough. You will not get more. You just give this nonsense activity up. At that moment, Hanuman was flying over and he thought, what? She doesn't give to the Supreme Personality of Godhead what he wants. I will come with my club and teach her a lesson. Later, Hanuman was instructed what is Vraj Bhakti, and he, from that moment on, he decided to never go to Vrindavan again because he might create an offense against the Braj Bhaktis. It's not in his power to understand. I mean, he's in a different relationship. That's the reason he's. And his rasa, and that's one. I mean, we can't say he can't understand. There is also something out of to where respect comes is overruled by love. You know, when Govinda, the personal servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, would every day after lunch massage the legs of Mahaprabhu. One day Mahaprabhu was lying in the in the inside of his room just before the door, and Govinda had to cross the body to massage the legs of the Lord. So he put his chadar on the body and just very carefully went over it and began to massage Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body. So after some time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu woke up and he saw Govinda in the corner and asked, "Govinda, have you not eaten? You have sat all here." "Yes, I have not eaten. I am waiting for you to awake. How can I cross over you?" "But Govinda, you have just come in the room. You have crossed over me to get in the room. How have you come in the room, Govinda?" Govinda said, "My dear Lord, for your service, I can cross over your body and go to hell. I don't mind. But for my own sense gratification, I will not cross over your body and go to hell." Hare Krishna. This is a sign of love in one's service. And love is so great that external rules of respect are no longer in the prime factor. And of course, this is where bhakti heads to. Bhakti needs to cross over the confinements of awe and reverence, and bhakti needs to violently, like a storm, come out of this confinement and go into the wide area of loving emotions. That's important. Thank you for this wonderful question. Yes. Yes. It is said it's bhakti in practice. But still, the point of showing respect to obtain blessings is still there. When Krishna goes every morning out into the pastures of Vrindavan, he touches the feet of Nanda Maharaj. Yes. Krishna also has a guru in Vrindavan, Bhaguri Muni. It's a priest who tells Krishna how to sit, how to be present in the sacrifice. He doesn't say, "I know everything." He just, "And how do I do this? What do we do now?" And Bhaguri Muni tells him, "Swaha, swaha." Hare Krishna. Krishna. So, we will end our class here. Thank you very much. I wish you all a wonderful day in devotional service. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.